Well, good evening. My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, having victory over being abusive and learning how to be content. So, amends. When I heard about the lesson of amends, I thought right away of taxes, because 2 years ago, I got one of those little letters with a window on it from the Internal Revenue Service, and with trepidation, I opened it up, and it said, "You made a mistake. You need to amend your tax form." And so I thought, how can this be? I'm using TurboTax. It has to be perfect. But anyways, I found the mistake. I fixed the mistake. I turned it in, and the IRS said, "Thank you. Your check is good. All is well." I don't like taxes. I actually did my taxes on time this year for a change. But, you know, when something is out of balance, you know, the government comes and knocks on your door and sends you a letter to say, you know, you have to make this right. All of us here are here in recovery because something's not right in our lives. And instead of the government sending this letter saying, come here, we've come here out of our own will to try and get better. Because we know, I know in my life, with my own best efforts, I couldn't fix myself. You know, I hid a habit of pornography for decades, and in 2003 I was found out, and, you know, my wife said, go get help or the marriage is done. So I understood an ultimatum, and I came here not because I wanted to, but because I got caught, because I was devious and I got caught. It wasn't until I started the step study that I actually heard the word amends. You know, growing up in my home, we had lots of arguments. We had five kids, and we always talked and fought with each other, but we never learned the words, I'm sorry, or I apologize, or what I just did harmed you. You know, I had no reference. I had no one to look up to that ever made amends. And so it wasn't until I got into recovery that I even heard the word. I mean, I kind of knew what the dictionary version of it was, but I hadn't really applied it to my own life. So I was really kind of clueless coming into this whole thing with recovery. And I'm really glad that I did. The other thing that brought me in to recovery was I was angry that one of my sons was fighting with another one. So I broke up the fight by using violence, by using physical force on the bully child. And, you know, I assaulted him. And I had no clue that what I did was wrong until the police knocked on my door and said, hey, you know, that's called assault. And graciously, my wife did not file charges. But within a year, I had a restraining order, and I was kicked out of my house because I had bad behavior. But I didn't figure out that I had bad behavior. I talked to family members, I talked to other guys, and they go, oh, my dad did worse than that to me. Oh, that's nothing. You should see what I've done. And so I got all this bad advice from people, you know, that violence was okay parenting your children. And it was, you know, ungodly and unwise. You know, I did the crime, but I didn't do the time. And it wasn't until I got to recovery that I found out, you know, when I offend somebody, you know, physically, emotionally, verbally, there's a lot of different ways you can offend somebody. But when you offend somebody and you don't reconcile, you know, that has to be taken care of. And so that's why we're here in recovery, is to expose our hurts, habits, and hang-ups to God's word, God's truth, and become better. So with our handout, we've got an acrostic, and the A is admit. Admit the hurt and the harm. And there should be a Bible verse here from Luke. Why don't we say that one together? Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. Luke 6:37. So it's talking about forgiving, which is part of the amends process. But we have to actually say out loud what we've done wrong to offend somebody else. Or if you're a victim and someone has offended you, and you have not stood up to you have not stood up for yourself and say, "Hey, that hurt me. That's offensive. Take it back," or apologize. You have some work to go through. Because the messages we hear as kids growing up and as adults growing up, we keep reinforcing. And in recovery, we want to break those bad messages and replace them with good messages, godly messages. So I notice on the handout, we don't have an actual amends list. But if you want to, in the notes section, you can just put two columns. And you can put one column that just says, "I offended." And then the second column is, "I was hurt by." So the first column is, I'm admitting, in writing, that I have hurt somebody emotionally, physically, verbally, spiritually. And the second column, I've been harmed. When we go to a step study, we add more columns and we put, the instance of what happened. So for me, I would say, I hurt my family by viewing pornography and acting out and hiding it and being a hypocrite and not being a good Christian. And also on my inventory, I could put on there, I saw a sibling beat my mom and I couldn't stop him. I could put on there, I was in a work environment and I put on fake expenses on my expense report. I lied on my expense report. I was really buying booze and I said, no, I'm really entertaining customers. If you've done something wrong or somebody has wronged you and you haven't dealt with it, it goes on your list. So the next fill in the blank, M, is make a list. Make a list. And in step study, we go through this in fine detail. We look at our life from first memories until present, and we examine what our behavior has been and what things have happened to us that make us who we are. And so we make this list. And one of the names that you will ultimately put on your list, someone that you have to forgive, is yourself. So I had to forgive myself for being abusive. I had to forgive myself for stealing. I had to forgive myself for lying. I had to forgive myself for cheating. I had to forgive myself for being abusive to others. The next fill in the blank, there should be a Bible verse for in Luke, again, for make a list. Let's read this one together. Treat others as you want them to treat you, Luke 6:31. So we want to be treated fairly, and if someone wrongs us, we want to hear them say, "I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry that I used those words. I can't take those words back, but I know the words hurt you, The fill in the blank for E is encourage one another. Encourage one another. And let's read the verse there in Hebrews 10:24 for encourage one another. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:24. So you're here tonight. I'm encouraged that you're here tonight. You're being here is part of my recovery. Michael and I started in 2004, and I still look forward. 2003? All right. So Michael started before me. Who knew? Who knew? What the heck? At first I came because I was given an ultimatum, but eventually I came to see that these steps and these principles are life-changing. I never would have figured out the antidote to my life issues had I not come to recovery. So I'm very grateful that you are here. And we encourage each other by being here, listening to the teaching, listening to the testimony, going in small group and saying things out loud you've never said out loud before, breaking the crazy cycles in your life, doing the prayer cards, checking in with people, letting them know that they're not alone, that they're in recovery together with you, signing up for a step study, actually putting the work in the step study and doing the step study, doing service, helping, you know, worshiping, feeding, collecting money, being friendly, just saying hello to somebody. I said hello to somebody in the parking lot, and it was just fun to see her face and acknowledge her. I've even seen people at Fred Meyer's, and I go, I know you. And we have a little conversation, and we're an encouragement to each other. So keep coming back. Your presence makes a difference. Your presence affects other people and your own recovery as well. So don't count yourself short. Being here is an encouragement to other people. The N in our amends acronym is not for them, not for them. And there's another verse in Luke. Let's read this one out loud. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. Luke 6:35. So this is really not natural, you know, to give to somebody and not expect something back. But what I found out doing my step study and doing my list and actually making amends, a burden was lifted off of me. I became freer. So I did get a recovery from just going through that process. And, you know, I made fun of a general manager for several years in a corporation that I worked at, and he was on my list. And when I called him up, I said, you know, for years I talked about you badly behind your back, and I wanted you to fail. And, you know, you said things that just set me off. And he goes, I don't remember any of that. And for him, it was just not a big deal. And so it was just like a totally unexpected response when I made my amends with that person. But it wasn't for him. I wasn't asking for him to say anything profound. I had to get it off my chest, and I had to get my side of the street clean. I had to come clean and tell him, you know, I wished you harm. I did not wish you well. And that's ungodly, and I'm convicted of it. And I just have to tell you that, that I'm sorry that I said those things about you behind your back. So it's not for them, it's for us. Your amends list is to get right between God, you and God, and to start the process to make things better with you and that person if they're open to it. So they can be open to it, or they can be oblivious to it, or they can be pissed off at you, and you know it won't be helpful. But that's not why I'm doing it. The next fill in the blank is the letter D for do. Do it at the right time. And let's read this verse from Philippians. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. So other people, when they've been harmed, they want to be reconciled. They want to be seen. They want to be acknowledged. They want to know that, you know, your words or your actions or your behaviors impacted them. You didn't sweep it under the rug. You remember it, and you're coming clean. And if you're a victim, if you've been harmed or hurt, you have to be willing, with God's help, to forgive the person that harmed you. And so when my older brother beat my mom, I was just a little kid. But as an adult, I called him up on the phone and said, hey, remember that time that mom really ticked you off and you beat her to the ground? You know, that really impacted me. That really offended me. And so I'm just getting it off my chest. I'm telling him that what he did was wrong. It hurt me, and it happened decades ago. And he was extremely apologetic He mentioned that he had reconciled with our mom and had apologized for his bad behavior. All these things I didn't even know about. But, you know, you'll be surprised when you put these people on your list that have offended you or hurt you, or you've witnessed them hurting other people, what comes out of it. Because we never resolved it. We just, in the family, we just swept that under the rug and we didn't talk about it. But now in recovery, we're encouraged, you know, what's the family secret? What's the deep family secret that no one talks about? And if you come into recovery and you make some I statements, you can reveal that you've been hurt in the past and that hurt has lingered on and you want to get better. So I'm closer to my brother now than I've ever been. And part of it was because I did the amends process with him and I confronted him about his bad behavior. So you have to know when to do it at the right time. If you don't know what the right time is, you should probably get a sponsor and explain to the sponsor what happened and say, you know, how do I do it? My sponsor's in the front row and he has secret hand signals. How am I doing on time?
Good.
I'm good? All right. You know, like in baseball, you've got these signals. So he's giving me some signals there and I'm gonna pay attention to those signals. Do things at the right time. Ask your sponsor what to do. So I just remembered today I have some unresolved conflict with my dad. My dad is dead. But I can still write a letter to my dad and read it aloud to my sponsor. Okay? You can still work your recovery with people that are in a different geography, different language, maybe not even alive. You can still do amends, even though you can't see that person face to face. So if you've got unresolved conflict, unresolved hurt, deal with it. Expose it to the light and deal with it. You know, time, there's a falsehood that says time heals all wounds. Time heals nothing. Recovery heals. God heals. God's word is true and God is a healer. He'll bring healing to you, but you have to talk about it. Okay? And that's why hopefully we're here in recovery together. We did Philippians. The final fill in the blank is S for start. Start living the promises of recovery. Start living the promises of recovery. So when I had the restraining order, I couldn't legally speak to my wife. But she would text me, which is breaking the law, and I would respond to her, breaking the law again. But she started it, so it must be okay. So I started, I was in a step study, and I'm separated from my family, and I read about amends. And I finally stop arguing that it's her fault, and I start saying, no, it's my fault. I'm kicked out of the house because of my anger issues. I frightened everybody. My anger was focused at one person, but everybody in the family was fearful. Not just the one that I had it in for. So I had to make amends to my wife and to all my children. And so that amends was not a one-time thing. My wife has an excellent memory, photographic, I think. And she'll be sad and I'll say, what's the matter? And she'll go, I'm just remembering, I'm reliving some of the hurt from your disloyalty and from your anger. And I agree with her. I say, you know, I was disloyal. I was angry. I did wrong. Is there anything I can do to make up for it? And 99 times out of 100, now she'll say, no, but at least you're listening and you care. So sometimes she just wants to be listened to. But when someone brings up a past hurt that I've already apologized for, I apologize again. Because they're reliving it. They're just reliving it. And it's appropriate for me to apologize many times and sincerely. And if you do this, your life is going to change. Your relationships are going to change. It's not natural. I didn't learn this growing up at home. I didn't learn this on the internet. I didn't learn this from a YouTube video. I learned this from coming here and doing the step study and listening to the teachings and listening to the testimonies and being in small group, and God has changed me. I'm not the same person that I was when I met Michael in the early 2000s. And thank God. Thank God we're different people. We're different men. In my life, the son who I assaulted, after I made amends, he said, "Dad, you don't argue with me anymore." So I had a character flaw, which was to win every argument with all people by all means possible, you know, including shame and guilt and name-calling and eye-rolling. And with my son, you know, an argument would always precede a fight. And I found out that if I don't argue, I can just disagree and say, "I love you, son. I disagree, but I love you." So I leave it at "I love you," and it can't escalate to a fight because I'm telling my son I love him. So you can find out what the antidote is to your life issues, you know, by coming to recovery, by reading the scripture. And that's what I've done, and it's changed my life, it's changed my relationships with my children, and with my wife, and with other people I come in contact with. So, amends. You know, just in kind of summary, you know, admit that you've hurt other people, admit that you have been harmed yourself. You have to admit it. We have to make a list. We have to write it out, and we have to speak it out. We have to be an encouragement to one another by showing up and being involved and following through. And our amends is not for the other person. It's for us. It's for our healing. Do it at the right time. And if you don't know what the right time is, ask your sponsor. And we should start living the promises of recovery. You know, the promises of recovery are restored relationships, restored peace with God, restored purpose in life. You know, just look at all the people around you. Everyone's got a story of healing in this room. And when you get into small groups, you can start to see that healing in that person even before they can see the healing themselves. We can see other people's change before they see it themselves. So give them an affirmation and an encouragement that you see them handling life differently. So that's my lesson on amends, and I really did study it. And thank you for your patience tonight.